Welcome to the Fearlessly Fit Faith podcast with your host, Ariante, better known as Tay. This podcast is home of discipleship style episodes to inspire women to steward their community and life well. I hope you enjoy this episode. Today's podcast testimony is from my friend, Margaret. Take a listen.
I've been in discipleship for just 2 months, and God has taught me so much and changed so much in my heart where it did not resemble Him. I have seen more fruit in my life in these 2 months than I had in my whole life while trying to walk alone. God has used discipleship in my life to free me from sin, shame, and wrongful thinking about how His gospel works. He's used it to beautifully put on display for me what it's like to take Him at His word and to live life like I believe who He says He is. Discipleship is the opportunity to see what God teaches through His word at work in a real person's life. Just as He's shown in His word, He will use broken and imperfect people, and all they have to do is step out of the way and let Him work through them. He not only reaches people through the people He uses, but He also blesses those people with the gift of seeing Him at work and seeing the fruit of their faith and obedience. Having someone to choose to let me into their life and getting to witness what living in God's will and being obedient to all that Jesus calls us to looks like is simply God's amazing grace. I've gotten to be completely real with another broken individual while also seeking the Lord individually and be in such sweet fellowship that displays Christ's love in action and keeps God's word as the ultimate authority. This idea of discipleship is such a beautiful gift that our Creator has given us that I believe most people never get to experience. The Spirit has used discipleship to make the change in my heart from having a faith that looks like James 1:23-24, which hears the word and does not do what it says, into a life that resembles verse 25, hearing His perfect law that gives freedom, and for that reason, applying His law to my heart.
Okay, thank you, Jocelyn, for coming back again. I'm so excited. I love your wisdom and like everything that you have to share. So,
well, it's great to be back. I've never been on a podcast twice. So thank you for inviting me back.
Yeah.
And our previous episode is still like one of my favorites to like go back and kind of hear. It was just such a good conversation. Yeah. To just even for the two of us. So hopefully it's beneficial to other people too, but
yeah, really we're the fun. Only so ones enjoying to, this. Yeah. Oh,
if nothing else, yes, we are.
Oh man. Okay. So question number one, can you give us a short snippet of your testimony and how the Lord has grown you as a discipler?
Yeah, so I did grow up in a home where I was taught about Jesus and His word and how to, you know, memorize scripture, love scripture, was involved in the church my whole life. And so I think in little ways, discipleship, maybe if it was happening before I even had the vocabulary for it. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll talk a little bit about that later, but individual kind of like one-on-one discipleship, other than the natural kind of like family setting, didn't really happen until I was in college, like the one-on-one, just like ongoing life kind of discipleship type stuff happened in college because I quickly got involved in a ministry that was passionate about discipleship and evangelism as like the two main kind of heartbeats of the ministry. And so I was just kind of was able to dive into that quickly. And so my sophomore year, when I had already learned more about like discipleship and what that means and from a biblical basis, I started meeting up with a girl who was a freshman at the time. But so she was already my friend, but it was like this more, you know, we're moving into like an official like discipleship relationship. So I'm like preparing content for it, but I was still like so new to that. Because discipleship is, it is friendship, but it is also more than just like getting together and hanging out. And so I feel looking back, like I was kind of tumbling and bumbling through like what this actually looks like and what it's supposed to be. But we would just like meet up weekly, like go over content. It was like pre-written content, which was great for me because, I didn't know what I was doing. And so the pre-written like material that like the ministry had helped equip me with. And so just talking about biblical topics. I remember one in particular, like sitting with her in the student union building, talking about like our position in Christ mm-hmm. versus like the condition of our sin, basically like a good way to remember like justification and sanctification.
Yeah.
So that's something that like always sticks out of me. Like that was honestly one of the first times that I was going through that content. It was like leading her through it. And so all that to say at the beginning of it and learning about like, okay, what does this actually look like now that I'm a young adult, like on my own in college, I want to be a part of this that is a biblical thing, but I've not necessarily seen it in like an official way in my life. And so, yeah, just learning more about it. And then over the years, it's been, gosh, a decade now, at least since then. And so how he's grown me as a discipler is just, I don't know, it's like always different because, you know, over the years and like meeting with different, now still like being in campus ministry and you have a whole new group of students every 4 years. And so there's always these people that are coming through that I've been able to invest my life in. And so each person is different. Each person's story is different. The things that they're facing is different. And so now I've had such a wide array of things that these like young women are facing mm-hmm. And coming away from conversations or being like, oh, I've never like experienced that before. I've never like dealt with this topic before, et cetera, et cetera. And so it has involved more of a dependence on the Lord because it's this both and of, okay, I know what I'm doing more than I had as a sophomore in college. but I also don't know what I'm doing. And so, as each new year and each, like just in our culture, like things are shifting and changing and like, there's new things to discover. And like, I'm a millennial, but now I'm like discipling Gen Z. And so it's like, that's a whole separation of things and like new things to learn and get used to. But, I've really seen discipleship as, just with being involved in a ministry that has been so passionate about it, mm-hmm. Has equipped me and kind of, it's become kind of like a greenhouse effect of like my own, perspective on discipleship and what that means. And so that has been cultivated in me, in a way that I just growing up, like didn't know kind of the ins and outs of what that should look like, or yeah, just being involved in Bible studies and stuff over the course of my life or just being involved in the church. But other than like my primary like parents, I didn't have someone kind of take me under their wing in this kind of way, like as a teenager, things like, and I always wanted that. Like I always longed for someone to just like for an older sister or something, for someone to just like take me under their wing in that way. But so I think that helped when I learned more about discipleship as well and being like, oh, I get to now be that for other people in a certain way, just because of whether it's I'm older, like in age or in spiritual maturity, I get to, just walk alongside and come alongside girls who are just a few steps, you know, behind. I don't mean that in a negative way, but just in life stage and spiritual maturity. So, it's been a whole journey, but now it's something that I am like super passionate about within the church. But I've seen it done well within the church. I've seen it done not well. And by not well, I just mean like not done at all. Yeah. And so there's a big, I think, miss there in the church today, but maybe that's a whole other topic.
That is definitely a whole other topic. We can have that conversation too.
Yeah. We'll kind of touch on it in our conversation today, but yeah, so that's kind of where I'm kind of coming from with that, with my experience with like, what is discipleship? And
yeah, that's so cool. I love how the Lord has grown you. I remember even like in meeting you, like, I don't know, like there was just something different. Like I could tell your heart. And at that time, like, I didn't even really understand like why community was important. Like I knew that I wanted it and like that it was something that the Lord would grow me in. But I just remember being part of that Bible study with you back in Virginia. Yes. That was like way long ago.
So crazy.
But like, I've always seen your heart for that. So like, it's cool to like hear kind of like the backstory of how, you know, like the Lord has grown you in that. So yeah. Thank you for sharing. Well,
that's encouraging. Yeah. It's like, yeah. From my perspective, just being like, oh, well, you know, it's just because it's just something that you're like moving through life and like mm-hmm. learning how to do. And so it's good and encouraging that that was like noticeable even then. But it's just, I always come back to the like, but I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah.
Honestly, that's the best part. Like, it's so cool to like be able to walk with the Lord. Like, I am such a control person, you know, and it's like, I want to be able to like figure this out, but like, just to like give it to the Lord and like, know that like, we're doing a good thing for him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for sure. Like evidence of his work that yeah. that's seen to other people. So that's always the end goal. So that's good.
Oh man. Okay. Question number two, why is discipleship necessary?
Oh, actually, now that I responded in that way, I had a flashback to our previous episode where you like asked me about like faith and feelings. And I'm pretty sure that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm about to get on a soapbox. So here we go. Round two. This is such a big, like passionate thing. And so I'm thankful that I have notes to keep me on track. But so discipleship is necessary primarily because it's a biblical mandate. Mm-hmm. So end of conversation. Great talking to you. Bye. No, but for real. Yeah, there's actually a really great book called Chasing Infinity that I have loved, that is about discipleship, but it actually takes you through the whole of scripture from the beginning. And even talking, we don't really think about like discipleship, like within the garden, but it talks about that and just how obviously before sin entered, like there's this relationship with God and between him and Adam and Eve. And there's this like ongoing, as Christians say, life on life kind of stuff that like in its purest form, like those discipleship, like getting to walk with him. And so definitely recommend the book. So it talks about discipleship throughout and like how that was broken and how since like, because of what Christ has done, we now join him in this mission that he has been doing since the beginning, and we have been transformed. And so it's just the natural progression of things that we now go. And so obviously the main place that we see that is in the Great Commission in scripture, Matthew 28:18-20, where he says to go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, in terms of why is it necessary? There's that. And so, but yeah, so yeah, I highly recommend the book, but I love how it gives like a whole picture of scripture from Genesis to Revelation, but within the topic of discipleship, and you can see kind of throughout. So recommend that, but with the Great Commission to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe what all that Jesus has commanded.
Yeah.
And so the book that I just mentioned also looks at that particular verse and kind of breaks down the original Greek words and how we think that go is probably the main command kind of that passage, which is pretty typical. Like that's the main like verb command right out of the gate to go. But what it actually is and how it originally would have been read and understood is that make disciples is the main kind of like command in that. And so then how do we do that? We make disciples by going, we make disciples by baptizing, we make disciples by teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. And then of course he gives us the promise that he's with us always in that. And so it's a really great perspective, really great book. And when I read it initially, I got so hype about like just by this mission of God that we get to take part in that has been going on since the beginning. And so we now partner, like what you were saying before, like it's what he's doing. It's what he is, it's his work that he's doing. And if that's, you know, whether noticeable by other people or like we get to come alongside and have a part in the impact of other people's lives, but it's what he's doing. And so that has been his mission. Like God, he has plans and he's like always had plans.
Yeah.
Since the beginning, and those aren't going to change. And so it's more about like, how does my life kind of fit into that? And so that's something that changed my life in general, but just even within the area of discipleship or with having an eternal perspective. And what really matters is like when we realize like what lasts forever, what is eternally significant, like God, his word and people, and the Great Commission, obviously as a biblical mandate, is not optional. It then becomes, okay, well, what am I doing about this? I know that it's clear, but it's also like general enough that what that looks like to make disciples in my life is going to look different than yours. But it becomes less of, God, what's your plan for my life?
Right.
And more of, how does my life fit into your plan or your will? Because again, he already has this thing that has been in motion since the beginning. And so that has been broken and tainted by sin and just broken humans who decide to be their own God, but he's redeeming and restoring people. And then those people just join him in what he's doing. And so I've heard it described, this just kind of popped back into my mind, but I've heard it described as like, when you're a parent, I'm not, so I don't understand this as much, but I've seen it happen that like, if you are a parent and you're just taking part in things that you're already doing, like either in the house or you have a certain project or whatever, you're just like inviting like your kids into something that like you're already doing. They're probably not going to do it well. And you might end up with like more of a mess than before, but like, it's the joy of like a father or of a parent to like have their kids just be involved in the things that they're doing. And so I'm like, wow, that's like such a beautiful thing. And so like, the father who is carrying out this perfect plan that will not be thwarted, but what a cool thing that he like wants us to be involved, like does not need us by any means. But, and so I think like those different perspective shifts that I've been able to have in my life through the discipleship of other people or just through like God's word and, and realizing more of an eternal perspective and growing like the vision for this, the kingdom, has just changed a lot. And so the other thing that in terms of like why it's necessary is that there's so many one another's in the Bible. And so for the listeners, Tay just got hyped. I think that's like, it's like a downside to this being an audio platform, is that like we can see each other, but no one else can.
Right. So
I just struck a chord in your heart. So that's like, that's part of it. Like all of the one another's aren't necessarily involving the aspect of meeting together and like going over content. Mm-hmm. But it's like the bearing one another's burdens. It's the meeting together. It's the breaking of bread together. Mm-hmm. Like, we all love food. It's the praying together and like wrestling together. Like, we're not meant to be alone. Like, and that has been something since the beginning, that like, it is not good for man to be alone. Clearly for Adam and Eve, that did lead to marriage specifically for them, but just in general, like, that goes for anybody. The problem was the aloneness mm-hmm. of him. And so, yeah, we're not meant to be alone. You talk so much about community and things like that. And so, that's part of it. So that's part of discipleship. We need each other for that. And then something else that I was thinking of as I was thinking about this question is like, for like women specifically, again, like going back to the beginning, again, in the context of Adam and Eve, like, it ultimately led to the first marriage that mm-hmm. we see. But Eve's role as woman, as helper, which that's a whole other conversation about like that original Greek word is used yeah. many, many times for God himself, mm-hmm. Where he came alongside his people and assisted them and helped them. And he was their help in a way that if that did not happen, they would not have been victorious. Mm. So it's actually a really high and powerful calling for him to say, like, just getting hype again.
Oh gosh. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic, but and I don't know like what your demographic is of like listeners to the podcast, but like to the women specifically, like it's just a big issue in our culture that it is somehow lesser than, and mm-hmm. it is actually not. It's a mm-mm. huge, powerful, like high calling.
Yeah.
So that is exhibited and kind of executed within marriage. Yes. But that is just a role as a woman.
Yeah.
And so that's so cool that like in this area of discipleship specifically, that we get to execute this God-given like identity as helper, as mm-hmm. to come alongside, to like assist, but not in like a demeaning way or a lesser than kind of way, but to help somebody else like in their journey of pursuing Christ mm-hmm. and yeah, to come alongside is just like a really cool thing that we as women specifically can get to work that out as our God-given role. And if it happens to then be in marriage as well, like that's great and God glorifying, mm-hmm. but it's part of what has been given to us in general. And so in what ways, again, that's going to look different for you than it is for me, but in what ways are we kind of coming alongside and helping others be like ultimately victorious in like the spiritual sense and in a eternal perspective kind of sense. So it's pretty cool when you think about it.
It really is. We're just gonna cap that.
Yes.
Man.
I think we've settled the argument. So we're done now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All of that is just so good. And just like, I guess one thought, we don't really like talk about having an eternal perspective, you know? And I think that's something that I've kind of like grown in over the last few years. Cause like, it's easy to just like look at our life here and now and think, oh my gosh, like this thing is happening to me, or like me long suffering through a whole year, you like with what's going on in your relationships and everything. And it's just like, it's easy to just like be stuck in that, but like to know that like what we're going through like has an impact like for eternity, like it's amazing and it's God glorifying and just so awesome. So
so fun to be a part of.
Yes. Okay, question 3, where can we go in scripture to get a glimpse of what discipleship looks like?
Yeah, so we've kind of touched on this already, but in addition to Matthew 28, where we see the initial call to go and make disciples, and then we can kind of go from there to go into Acts to see the start of the early church and the first kind of results, initial results of the disciples the 12 disciples going out, well, I guess 11 at this time, ugh, awkward. if you know, you know. Oh my God. Sometimes things come out and I'm like, Jocelyn, what, what are you saying? But I just need to correct myself there. So the disciples initially going out and answering that call. But then you also see it in 2 Timothy 2:2, which is also an easy one to keep track of because there's a lot of twos. So 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul also says to Timothy, who he's writing to, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Yeah.
And so he had just finished up, I think the verse before that is talking about him like remaining strong in the faith and things like that, and in the Lord. And so even in that statement alone, we can see kind of four generations, if you will, of discipleship. So we have Paul has invested in Timothy, and we see that in so many other places of how Timothy was so dear to him, and he was a son in the faith. And there's a whole other conversation that could be, you know, on that in terms of like spiritual multiplication, and that like Paul wasn't like a biological father to our knowledge, like it was not married, you know, and so but he was a spiritual father if there ever was one, and so that matters for eternity. And so so Paul to Timothy, and then Timothy to these faithful men, and then those faithful men are going to teach others also. And so there's this again, the spiritual multiplication. And I think that's so key with something like discipleship, because we can individually kind of share Christ, which is something that is meant to happen. Like we're sharing Christ with whomever and wherever we can, as, because even going back to like the Great Commission, that book Chasing Infinity kind of breaks down the go, implying this as you go. It's not a going to, like, obviously to them it was to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, but like it's this as you go, it's this natural progression of as you are going, whatever it is that you are doing, while you're doing that, you're making disciples. And so but yeah, we see these generations of as you go, like you're entrusting to faithful people. And so we can individually like try to invest in like anybody that we can, but it's actually more strategic to invest in a few who then invest in a few, who then invest in a few. And so, and I remember like hearing a statistic about that one time in terms of like on the topic of spiritual multiplication, where it's like, it would take so much longer for me as an individual to quote unquote disciple, or even just simply share Christ with as many people as I can throughout like my whole day, every day. It would take longer to do that, or to quote unquote, like reach the world or like the population of the world, versus if the multiplication of that, if I'm investing in three and they invest and three and they invest in three, it takes a shorter, you know, amount of time to get to more people. So, and you just have like more quality kind of relationships in that, as that is like multiplying. Another glimpse of what discipleship looks like, the 12 disciples that Jesus had an influence on. And so to my last point, like that's a good kind of transition into that, because Jesus himself certainly had influence over the masses, but he specifically invested in 12. Not everybody got the same kind of investment as as the disciples did from Jesus. And so as I'm talking about discipleship like to college students, I'm always like, that does not mean that you disciple 12, like you cannot do that. Like Jesus is perfect. So, so anyways, for what it's worth, but using that to kind of see that like we can have, again, like influence or, a role in people's lives, but to specifically invest in one or two or three, depending on your season of life or what your abilities are, there's no shame in like just having a few, because like the Lord does so many things with just a few. And so And it's like, wow, what a thing for them, the disciples, to be directly discipled by Jesus himself, like in the flesh daily for 3 years. But we know it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies because they struggled for sure. But that's the thing, even in that too, that it's this daily, like ongoing being in someone else's life, specifically investing in them, pointing them towards Christ, teaching scripture, like teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. Okay, what does that mean for me as someone who wants to disciple? Am I observing all the things that Jesus has commanded? How am I being a disciple of his primarily? And how do I, like, do I know his word? And I'm not saying, do I know his word enough? Because we can't, you know, get into that, because then it's like, we'll never disciple or pour our lives into other people. But we've been given, you know, what we need to do that. But yeah, the teaching scripture, the celebrating with them in their life, the weeping with them, again, the one another's,
yeah,
that we see Jesus exhibiting and kind of walking through in his earthly life and ministry. And then the other example, I'm sure there are others for sure, as we like read over the course of scripture in different aspects, whether it's blatantly said or not, like, oh, that's discipleship. Like, that's what that looks like. But I thought specifically too of Priscilla and Aquila. In the book of Acts, there's this moment where in Acts 18:26, where Apollos was this like major evangelist of the first century. And there was this moment where they are believed to be a couple, like in ministry in the early church, Priscilla and Aquila. And they, the verse says that they explained to him the way of God more accurately. And so whether that was a moment or whether that was like an ongoing thing, there was something going on that like Apollos either like didn't have right or didn't accurately understand. And so you have this couple that like kind of came alongside him in the work that he was doing and explained to him like the way of God more accurately. So it's just, it's interesting that, yeah, just to come alongside and to teach and train. Another one popped in my head. It was like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, like, he came alongside, like God was already at work. Like that's a perfect example. Like God was already at work in this man's life. He's reading, I believe, the book of Isaiah. And he just like wanted somebody to explain it to him. And like Philip was there and was like, hi, I can like explain this to you. And so again, like, and that was such a short encounter. So whether it's something like that, whether it's like the life on life over years, like Jesus and the disciples, like, it's this investment, this coming alongside, this teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. And you're trusting the Holy Spirit with the results of that, with the growth of that, just like you are in your own life. And so there isn't this, well, you have to get to a certain place in your own life. Like, are you a Christian? Have you been saved and transformed by Christ? Is your soul regenerated? Okay, you disciple, go and make disciples. So yeah, again, just really cool to look over scripture and be like, this is all over the place. And like, I get to do it too. So cool.
So exciting. I love it. Okay. So what is something that you deeply enjoy about discipleship?
It is a joy of my life for sure. if it's not already clear. The first thing that I can think of though is like, what I've touched on already, but getting that front row seat to God changing lives because it's him that's doing it. And so what's unique about my situation is that I do get to do this for a job. And so it's what I do primarily though, to hear me correctly, because I'm not trying to come in here to be like, well, discipleship is for me because I do it as my job. It's primarily what I do because I'm a believer and secondarily what I do because it just also happens to be my vocation. So all that to say, I'm like in it, like in discipleship, like day in, day out. So investing in college women has been really cool, you know, over the years, different stories, different life circumstances. I've faced different life circumstances that, you know, ideally it's, you know, mutually encouraging and upbuilding. And it totally is not even ideally, like it is, I can speak from personal experience as someone who is discipling and has been discipled, that like, regardless of what quote unquote side you're on in that relationship, like it's so mutually encouraging, and the girls that I invest in challenge me a lot, with their questions or with the things that they're facing, that they like their pursuit of God too. And the ways that like the Holy Spirit is working in their life. I'm like, man, I like that spurs me on to like want to be in my Bible more. And, but I get to do the same for them. And so, just the Holy Spirit stirring in the hearts of young women. And so we're like reading scripture together, and then I get to see things like leap off the page to them that is totally evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And I just like get to be a witness to that. Mm-hmm. And so kind of, again, come alongside, assist, kind of guide our time. Like I'm doing the work ahead of time to prepare the content. Like I said, at the start of this, like it's so much more than just like getting together and hanging out and talking about life. Like I tend to like say that in a mocking voice, because it is something that like grinds my gears.
Oh, yeah.
But because it like, sure, you can hang out with anybody and like have that be mutually uplifting too, and then but that kind of goes back to like the masses kind of thing. Like you can have these ongoing conversations where you're getting together and talking about life with other believers and different things, but like the specific investment and the preparation of preparing the content of what you're going to look over, or the things that you're going to spend time in prayer over, or what kind of concept or am I like teaching today based on the word. And so but it's in those moments, it is evidence of what the Holy Spirit is doing, and I get to be a witness to that and just think or even say out loud to them, like, did you see what happened there? Like the light bulbs come on. And so those are all things I deeply enjoy about discipleship, is like he's at work, and whether it's even like they see it or not, I see that like you were not the same person months ago. Because again, going back to the one another, is like we need other people to, because again, like you were saying with different circumstances, sometimes we can be stuck in that. Mm-hmm. So we need someone else to be like, do you not realize like the growth that God has done in your life? And so like two examples I can think of, like one girl, and I've wrote about this on Instagram, and like I've talked about it in so many conversations when I think about discipleship, but also this concept of like being a theologian, which again is another conversation. But to briefly touch on it, like I'm sitting across the table from this girl, it's her senior year, we're reading scripture, we're trying to draw some sort of conclusion from scripture. And she was like, I mean, I'm not a theologian or anything, but, and I was like, well, hold on. Cause there is a difference between like, we're not called to be scholars. Like there are scholars out there. There are people who know a ton. But I was like, well, theology is the study of like God and who he is and like our knowledge of him. What is it that we're doing here?
Yeah.
And so the light bulb kind of coming on for her in that moment, and that's not credit to me. It's just something that like she was discovering in scripture and kind of gave her the tools and the equipping to say like, no, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And that kind of from there, like she was like pursuing, like reading the Bible in a year and things like that. And has since like the new year just passed, and like she finished it. And that was like really cool to see, like even from afar, like she's in grad school now, but like it's cool to see that like she was like, so much of that started like in that conversation that like, oh yeah, I actually like I can do this, and like I want to know God's word. To other examples of just over a year ago, sitting again just across the table from a girl who was just wrestling with wanting to pursue the Lord, and like the desire was there and the intention was there, but there was this like inner wrestling, and like she described like a knot in her chest of like, mm-hmm, I just don't know if I'm doing it right. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of went through in my place of discipling her, like being reliant on the Holy Spirit in that moment, And sometimes like I have my intended like content to go through, but we just started talking about assurance of salvation and what that means and what that looks like as I'm seeing within her that she does not presently have this assurance. And so kind of walking through scripture, walking through like this, there is no, I don't know if I'm doing it right in terms of like, am I doing enough to like appease God? Like he came for us, like while we were dead, like we're seeing all these like patterns in scripture and the lights start to come on for her in that moment. And I was like, Jesus, like he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And she was like, there was this shifting in her like understanding and like that, like those moments are like what I live for, this like, this shifting of, and she said like, that changes everything that I've ever known. And I'm like, it does, doesn't it? And it just like goes back to like, it goes back to that mutual encouraging of like, I've known these concepts, known these verses, known the gospel for a majority of my life. But in that moment, we then like in the weeks after that, we start talking about like, what does confession, what does the role of confession have like in the life of a believer? Because it's not, you know, to appease God. And she was coming from like a Catholic background. And so confession looks entirely different in that way. But she's like, I know confession is in scripture, but like, what, how does that look in my life now? And so, yeah, just seeing week after week of like her, these lights kind of coming on and being like, wow, that's different than how I've known it before. And this like, it makes sense. And so, but it's, again, it's not all like, those moments. There's a lot of moments too, where I'm meeting with people and I'm like, I don't know what's going on in her head, you know, like, Lord. I do not at all want to paint this picture that like, that's what discipleship is. And there's these light bulbs going off all the time. And like people are being changed. And I'm like, it's the struggle too of like, whether it's people like not acknowledging or understanding like sin issues or not like seeing the need for being in their Bible or all those things that, again, it's like the wrestling too. So it's the coming alongside in the good things and the celebratory things and the things that we get to witness is really, really cool. But there's a lot of definitely the unseen things, first of all, even from, you know, my own eye, not only like from a kind of nobody on a big platform is like this isn't on a big platform in front of thousands of people where they get to like witness this.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of unseen things because it's the eyeball to eyeball, but that's like what matters, you know, like I was listening to, which I was going to give this like as a resource, but Jenny Allen gave a really good talk on discipleship a few years ago that I was like in the room for, and I just watched it again yesterday, completely unrelated to like preparing for this, but it's such a good thing because she was like, God moves through surrendered people. She said it so much better than I will right now, but something to the effect of like, he moves through surrendered people, not like platforms, you know, not through these like, and God can and does totally use like the influencer situation and like these big platforms. But he moves through surrendered people. And so just to say that like, it's not all, you know, celebratory things either. It's a lot of the unseen and even unseen to my own eyes of like, is anything clicking here? Is like, this is like a difficult encounter or interaction or relationship. But again, just surrendering it to the Lord, like surrendering it to the Holy Spirit, trusting him with the results, whatever that means or whatever that looks like. And so it's worth it. Discipleship is worth it. And I think as I am thinking about with this question, with the things that I deeply enjoy, but I also just want to say that like, for anyone who says that discipling someone else just isn't for them or they like can't or shouldn't do it. First of all, yes, it is for you because Matthew 28, But also, like, yes, you can do it. Like, it is for you, and you can, because God's word says that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness in 2 Peter 1. And I think, if I were to guess, I think that that includes all that we need for the things that we know from scripture that he has specifically called us to, like discipleship. Of course, he is going to equip us for those things. And if it's like, well, no, I can't because, you know, my life is a shambling mess and like, I'm not qualified enough.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Because like, we get in the dirt with these other people and the shambling mess together and go towards Christ. And the good news is in that I'm not making disciples of Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Because if I was like, if I was making disciples of Jocelyn, sure. Like I should probably have it all together. In which case I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
But we're making disciples of Christ. And the key part in that is as we are also disciples of Christ. And if we're making disciples of Christ, God's word tells us who Jesus is and what he is like.
Yeah.
And we can teach others to observe all that he has commanded because it's there for us. And so if anything, I found that the shambliest of moments in my life, which I've kind of touched on before, have actually been encouraging somehow, like key words, somehow in the lives of another girl who again is just a few steps behind in life stage or in the maturity of her faith, because there's this solidarity there. Like as I'm talking to college seniors who are like, I gotta nail what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life right now, and I'm like, girlfriend, you do not. God has me where he has me right now, but I don't know if this is going to be forever. Hey, I'm like exploring these other things or these other like giftings or passions that like he's laid on my heart. Like there could be a shift in my life. Like, and the older I get, which is not that old, but I also am feeling older as I've entered the last year of my 20s, RIP. But I'm just seeing from people who are like years, decades older that like, oh, she's still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And she's just like trusting the Lord. And so one of my friends the other day mentioned a book by Melissa Kruger. I believe it's called Growing Together. I have not read it, but she has and highly recommends it. But she was just saying the other day that something that Melissa says in this book is like discipleship is like this callback to like, we're, you know, running the race. And it doesn't say anything special about us that we're quote unquote ahead of someone else. It's just reality that like, I've just been walking with Jesus longer, or I am older than you. And I know what it's like to experience the senior year college struggles and all of that. And now on the other side of it, I'm like, oh, GPA does not matter in the long run. Like, sure. Okay. It matters for grad school. It matters. Like be a good student, but like out here, one is asking me about it. No one cares. And so just whether it's little things like that, like we're running the race and we're calling back to the women who are like behind us and bringing them along, in their own race. And so there's a lot again, that is unseen in that, but like it's seen by God.
Yeah.
And we're partnering with him in the work that he's already doing. We're not workers for him. We get to be disciples of him and lovers of him. And so, as we're doing that, that's just going to be like a natural overflow to like, I want to take part in the things that he's doing because I am growing in my knowledge and love for him. And so of course, like I want to be part of the things that matter and that will matter for eternity. And so God, what are you doing? Who are the people in my life? And like, how can I be a part of it? And so it's a worthy cause, but it's also just like, in the midst of the things, that I deeply enjoy, but also are really, really hard. Really hard. I've been just, in a season even recently where I'm like, does it even matter? And there's like cycles of that I keep coming back to, but even just being refreshed on things in the last couple of days that like, oh, it does actually matter. And it's important. And even if I can't see it, in which case I'm in great company with a lot of people in scripture who did not get to see the final results of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. It's a worthy investment.
Yeah. And like, that just gives hope too. Like, it's hard. Like, we're fleshy human beings. Like, we want to see the fruit of like what we're doing, but to know that there were so many like great people before us that did the work, the hard work, and followed after the Lord, but did not see the promise. Ah, like that is wild, you know?
Yeah. And it's so frustrating, but like we now have this great cloud of witnesses of all these people who are in glory, who are still saying, oh yeah, yes, it was worth it.
Yeah.
And it's a worthy yes. And so, yeah, like we can strain on like toward the goal of doing that. Something that you're just saying made me think of something else too, but it is so unlike everything else in our world. Yeah. In terms of like success and what you can measure and what you can see, and the idea of you put this much in, you see this much, or you get this much out of it. Discipleship does not work in that way. Like, so if you're signing up for that, thinking that, just don't, or like, it's going to be a rude awakening.
Yeah.
But just like so much in the Christian life is the same way. Like, it's an upside down kingdom. It does not work in the same ways. And so, yeah, we just can't expect, but somehow it's there are people who've gone before us who are saying that it's worth it, and so we can say that too.
Yeah, so good. Okay, let's see, are there people who've helped you grow in your faith, and how has that cultivated your heart for discipleship? And then you kind of already mentioned this, but like any resources that you have that people can like take and run with. So
yes, so I kind of touched on this at the beginning when you're asking about like my testimony and kind of where I guess discipleship started or how I've grown in that. I was not hinting at this purposely because it was my response for this question, but my first discipler would have been my mom, primarily. Both my parents alike for sure, but my mom was stayed at home while my dad worked, and so she was the primary one in terms of like the day-to-day to be discipling me. Again, I don't think either of us would have had that vocabulary then. Obviously me for sure not, because it was like as I was a toddler, but she was actually a fairly new believer at the time. And so the things that she was teaching me in those moments as a toddler were the things that she was learning at the same time, like memorizing scripture and the books of the Bible. And she actually painted the names of the books of the Bible on the wall in my like playroom.
Oh my gosh.
Also, only child flex of I had a playroom. So that's kind of ridiculous and excessive, but I was an only child for a long time until I was 14. So but she made up songs to verses, you know, like, and there's like the typical songs that like even growing up in the church that like other people knew for like verses or for the books of the Bible, but I'm like, I don't know that melody. Like, my mom made her own.
Yeah.
So, and then in my teen years, again, like I appreciated it at the time. And like, it was fun for me, but I didn't realize the weight of like, as a teen, she like hosted Bible study for my friends and I in our basement. And, so different things like that. And again, I know that she would not take credit, first of all, but she, I'm sure, would, because she was a new believer, would be like, I did not know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so, but that was my primary way. And so I see like young moms now who are like trying to, you know, teach their kids scripture or put it to song, or I follow Hunter Bielis on Instagram, who's like super passionate about it. She's the host of the Journey Women podcast. And she's like super passionate about like teaching her kids like scripture memory, but she like puts it to like melodies and beats all the time, which is really cool. But I see that now as like a recipient of a child who, as I was a child, being a recipient of that. It's really cool to like in my adult life to like encourage, and I'm not yet a mom, but like, encouraging other young moms to be like, that actually works. Like that is, it's a good investment of your time. Like moms, like your kids are your primary disciples. Like, that doesn't mean that you can't invest in other people too, but like, that's your primary focus of discipleship, which is cool. And again, I was a recipient of that. And so that's my earliest memory, but both my parents for sure. Not to like not include my dad, but like, he was totally participant in that as well, of investing in me and teaching me the things of just different concepts like within scripture and things. And so later on I had youth leaders who invested in me in kind of more like a group setting, because I didn't yet experience like one-on-one things outside of my family. But then by the time I got to college, there's some like older students that I met with for like an official, unofficial kind of discipleship thing, but I still didn't really know what was involved in that. But then a woman named Debbie started discipling me as a student. And so she was on staff with my college ministry, and she's still one of my good friends. And so she, whether it was like these bigger concepts or bigger like life scenarios that she was walking through with me, so many times I cried on her couch in her home. Like, yeah. But every time I came over, like, she would always have popcorn. And whether it was laughing or crying on her couch, like, she had this home like ministry and just discipled me. And it was the simplest of things that I remember, whether those like gestures to like, hey, I'm going to come like by your apartment, and like, would you want to like go over to McDonald's, like get a treat or something,
yeah.
Or like, let's just sit and talk. Or so it's not this like extravagant, like Debbie wasn't trying to be a scholar for me. Like, she was just like an older woman. Her kids were in high school at the time, and just investing in me. And then she was able to see things in me that I didn't see in myself. Mm-hmm. And my senior year of college, she was like, I think you should lead a freshman girls Bible study. Like, I think that would grow you and challenge you. And I think you'd actually enjoy it too. And I did. And she was right. And like that, I stem like my love of Bible study and biblical literacy. Like, one of the key things is that Debbie told me to do it. Like,
yeah.
She invested in me and said, I think you would be good at it. And so even though, you know, I didn't think so at the time, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try it. It became the thing that like sealed the deal for me of like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, to be in a room with other women, like Bible's open, like we're reading the word together. I definitely credit, you know, the work that the Holy Spirit was doing in her life to then say that to me, but even just different things like her encouraging me to pray that like my heart would be soft and pliable for the Holy Spirit to move, and that I pray that I'd gain a heart of wisdom, like little snippets like that, mm-hmm. That has stuck with me. And so, yeah, over the years, it's been really cool to see. And now like I'm fairly new to my local church now that I'm in, and like meeting older women, who are like taking up the baton to like invest in me, and, for me to continue to pass that on in my circles. It's just like a really cool thing to see that so many women, like specifically women for sure, but men and women alike, who have invested in me and challenged me and said things to me that I did not want to hear at the time, but like that I needed, and that has called me higher or has challenged me more or has convicted me. Like, it's the shambly and the sacred, you know. It's both the good and bad and the fun and the messy of what this discipleship means, but it's better together than alone. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. As far as the resources, I could probably send you a link for you to like post somewhere, but Jenny Allen's talk on discipleship for anyone who, and it's specifically like her specific context was to those of us who are in campus ministry. Mm-hmm. But again, discipleship is for everyone. And so none of what she says is like so specific to like people outside of this can't hear it, but it's so encouraging. Yeah, I won't even like spoil any more of it than I already have, but it's so good. That book, Chasing Infinity, is really good. Growing Together, I believe that's what it's called, by Melissa Kruger.
Okay.
And there's other ones that I could probably think of, but just to get the ball rolling on further like cultivation of people's hearts for discipleship.
Yeah. Man. Okay. This is so good. There are like so many little branches that would be like, oh yes, we could talk about this or like this, or, you know, I just appreciate you so much and just like your wisdom and like everything that you have to share. So thanks again for coming again.
It's so fun. Like this is this is something to easily like say yes to, because again, I just get to talk to you and we get to like mutually share in something that we're like on soapboxes about. And so it's just, it's really fun. So I'll come back anytime for sure.
Friend, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode today. If so, I would love it if you left a rating and a review on whatever podcast streaming service that you use and shared it on social media with your friends, maybe sharing a quote that you got from the episode and just what the Lord is teaching you throughout it. I pray that you have a great and blessed week.